Welcome to The Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from The Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. We're just going to look at five verses today. We're going to look at verses 12 through 18. And, you know, as I was preparing this message and wrapping it up on Friday, I realized, I thought, man, this is a very important passage of Scripture. And I'm really hoping that you will allow God to speak to you through his word today. Because I'm going to be honest with you, this passage of Scripture, while a lot of us know it, some of us will even quote part of it, we misunderstand it. We misunderstand what he's trying to convey here. And so we get frustrated by it. I'll be honest with you, this passage created a frustration in my life at one point. And so what we want to do, remember, we're doing this study, going through the Gospel of John, trying to get to know Jesus. And as we get to know Jesus, as we're meeting Jesus, we're getting to know ourselves. And so what I want us to see today is that he's going to give us a passage that's going to help us with a promise that is awesome. And I hope it will help you as it was helping me as I was doing this. But you're talking about misunderstanding. Well, let's talk about that. Before we get into these verses and I share them with you, let me tell you about how we misunderstand things. So here's the first one. We tend to see our relationship in terms of self. We tend to see our relationship with Jesus in terms of self. Now, before you reject that, let me help you understand why I said that, okay? Because you might be saying, no, I don't see it in terms of that. Now, listen to me. I think you do. Because look at the way you pray and what you pray about. I've done that sometimes. I have a prayer list that's on my iPad, and I go through it, and then I begin to realize that most of the stuff I'm praying about has to do with me. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. Most of the stuff that we pray about has to do with me and the stuff that I'm facing, and not just the stuff that I'm facing. A lot of it has to do with the stuff that I'm wanting. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we're brutally honest with ourselves, a lot of the requests and interacting with Jesus, a lot of the relationship with him is me. Now think about that with a moment for any other relationship in your life. If you think about any marriage relationship, any dating relationship, any relationship between siblings, any relationship between friends, if one person is only focused on themselves, how's that relationship going? It's not going. It's suffering. It's like, yeah, there are some people that'll put up with anything, but a lot of times they're like, I'm done here. You know what I'm saying? Because all they do is talk about themselves and what they want and blah, 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 blah. And nobody cares about the other person in this relationship. How's that any different with God? If you think about it, we misunderstand and we see our relationship with him in terms of self. Now, here's where the frustration comes from. Our misunderstanding of Jesus leads to our frustration and defeat. Leads to our defeat, our frustration. So one of the verses we're going to look at here today is in verse 13. You'll know this verse. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You guys know that verse, right? We claim that verse, right? We grab a hold of it as a promise. Whatever I ask in his name is going to happen until it doesn't happen, right? And a lot of times it doesn't happen. And so you get frustrated. It creates a crisis of faith. You and I understand that kind of frustration because how many times have you prayed so hard for something it didn't happen? Should we just rip that page out of the Bible? Is Jesus right in everything except that one verse? Let me get my pocket knife out. We'll cut that verse out. What's going on here? No, the verse is right. It's just that we misunderstand what he's talking about. Because here's what we do sometimes, and I realize this. Sometimes what we do is we see a verse and it says so much to us, but it's not about what he's talking about. We take a text out of a context. And when you take text out of the context, you're left with a what? A con. And so my job today is to help you to understand what he's talking about in this passage, and that's going to help you. Now, do I keep praying about stuff? Yes. Do I keep wanting him to take care of stuff? Yes. A lot of times we're frustrated and defeated before God because we expect him to do things that he never promised. So what's he talking about here? Well, that's what I'm supposed to tell you today. I'm supposed to help you to understand that he's talking about his work. And remember, let me set it up for you. What's going on here? Here's what's going on. Remember, he's in the upper room. This is Thursday. He's having the Passover meal with his disciples. They're thinking, all right, he's coming. This is it. We're his right-hand man. He's going to overthrow the Romans. He's going to establish himself as king. It's gravy train from here on out. Everything's going to be perfect. We're with him. And so they're having this meal together, and Jesus is saying, one of you is going to betray me. I'm going to die. I'm going away, and you can't go with me. Peter, tonight, buddy, three times you're going to deny me. Whoa, what's going on? And so he comes along, and he's trying to give them some assurance. Look, a new commandment I give you, love one another. He's trying to tell them how they're supposed to be while he's away. And these verses talk about right now, you and I, while we're waiting for Jesus to come. And I'm hoping they're going to encourage you. So let's take a look at it, okay? Look with me. We'll start with verse 12. And then we'll get to verse 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. All right, so let's take a look. These are some great verses. A lot of times we misunderstand them. Let's focus on what's happening here. So here's what I want to do. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13, and we're going to talk about his continued work. Okay, so let me kind of set it up for you here. Jesus is preparing them. He's telling them, I'm going away. You can't go with me. But in the meantime, there's still stuff that needs to be done. There's still work that needs, all the work that we've been doing, there's still work that needs to be done, and you guys are the ones who are going to carry it on. And we're going to talk about what that work is here in a moment. But then, I'm going to send somebody to help you. And that's what we're going to focus on in the last part, the helper. Okay? So let's look at this, the continued work. I got three statements I want you to see here. Okay? So here's what he says. Look with me at verse 12. Most assured, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works he will do also, and the greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So he's saying, okay, you guys are going to be able to do greater things than me. What's he talking about? So if you think about what Jesus did, all right, let me ask you something. What were some of the miracles Jesus did? Anybody tell me here? What were some of the miracles? Don't be shy. We got coffee in the back to get your blood flowing. What are some of the miracles? Feeding the 5,000, okay? Anybody else? What's that? Heal the blind, okay? Anybody else? Walking on water, what were you going to say in their tank? Yep, raising Lazarus from the dead, okay? What's that? water to wine. So all these amazing things. Okay. Since Jesus, has that happened? What's he talking about, greater works? Yeah, maybe the apostles did some things in the book of Acts, but not like any of that. What's he talking about here? Here's what he's talking about. Here's my point I want you to see. Jesus states that his fathers will have a greater impact when he's gone. That's what he's talking about. Impact. Because remember now, the works, raising Lazarus from the dead, that's the last big one that he just did. Did that change anybody's heart? Did that all of a sudden get everybody convinced that Jesus is the Messiah? No, because we found out right after that, they now want to what? Kill him and Lazarus. So it's not that the works you do are going to change people's minds. It's the impact of what you're doing and the message that